Cool. Thank you. Good evening. Whatever. Yeah, let me just pray for a minute. Lord, I thank you for tonight and a few purposes for us. And we want to hear your spirit speaking to us. We want to hear what your voice is saying, Lord. And so we open up our hearts to you. We open up our ears. And we ask, Lord, that we would receive tonight more than information, but that, Lord, we would get a sense of the smell of the meal, like when you walk into a kitchen and you can smell it. Lord, that we would have a clear sense of your purposes for us in this room, for this world that we live in, for our city, for our congregation, for our friends and neighbors. Lord, we ask that you would tune our senses to perceive, and God, that you would lead us by them. We pray in your name. Amen. So we are just right in the middle of a couple of series, and we just finished up here our series on sort of the core values that we as a particular movement of churches in the Vineyard have stated are right at the center of what it means to be community, which has been really good and helpful. And we are going to be starting very soon into a new series as we head in towards Advent, which is crazy that we're almost at Advent, but it's true. Don't shoot the messenger. It's just the way it is. And so tonight is kind of an opportunity just to ask the question, Lord, is there something specific that you want to say? And I really, you know, over the last little while, many of us have been having conversations about this, you know, this service, our congregation, what the purposes of God are for us, how we move out from being, that's actually not the way I would choose to phrase that, but anytime you've got a group of people, we can tend to club together, right, and have insiders and outsiders and have really comfortable sort of language that we, you know, insider talk. If you've ever shown up at a business, a place of business, and gone into the back room, you hear all sorts of phrases that, you know, and acronyms that don't make any sense. And so as we parse this stuff out and tease this out and say, Lord, what does it mean for us to be a family together and people who are passionately in love with Jesus together and reflect heaven, reflect what God's plans are for this world, reflect that right now in our own community. And what does it mean for us to be present in a meaningful way to the world that we live in? What does it mean for us to be present in a way that we would actually have people coming into this space, whether on Fridays, which it is our desire, our deep desire, that we would fill these chairs with people who have never considered the name of Jesus? That's our desire. It is our desire that we would see humanity, we would see our friends and our neighbors and our families come to know who Jesus is. And we want to create spaces where we can all share that together. That's a desire for our gatherings here on Fridays. It's part of why we've decided to change things up the way we have and experiment. And it is just an experiment, you know, the form of the thing. But it's just asking the questions. What does it mean to create a safe space? And so that's something that we're going to be arcing on for a while, actually, because we just really feel like it's important. You know, Jesus talked about us in our lives as being like a city on a hill or a church or a lamp on a lampstand. This is something to be seen, something to be witnessed. The church is purposed to be something to be seen and something which attracts others to it. That's what happens when you turn on a light in the dark places, is that that is a beacon of hope. And so as I started thinking about all this stuff, I'm also reading a book right now by a fellow named Brian Zand, and really interesting thinker, and he wrote a book called Beauty Will Save the World. And he's a pastor out of the States, and he just is, it's really, I'm really loving what he's talking about. I'm really loving the language that he's using, the invitation for us to tease out what it means to reflect the beauty of what Christ is and has done in the fabric of our community, in the fabric of our lives. And so tonight we're going to be talking about beauty. That's actually our theme for this evening. I just want to start by, Mark, if you want to switch over to the other here. We're just going to start, as we often do, with a short video piece. And, yeah. How many of us walk regularly? When you walk, and I ask the question about walking because it's very different from driving. Do you ever stop and listen or just see? Like, what do you see when you walk around the streets? That doesn't have to be rhetorical. It can be a rhetorical question if no one wants to answer it. But like, what are the sorts of things that as you're walking that you notice? Both. Smells. Good ones or bad ones? Yeah, construction. Yeah. Right. That's pretty common. I'm that guy sometimes. I try not to be, but you know, Liv and I, we do tend to go for walks with some regularity when we can make the time. And one of the things that I find really interesting is that depending on my mood, it really affects what I see. Sometimes I can see the sky and the trees and the way that if the sun is setting, the way that the colors are kind of, the light is sort of reflecting onto the washing, the greens, and it just becomes very beautiful. But other times I just see the graffiti and the dirt. I see the telephone wires everywhere. I see telephone pole, like wires, just wires everywhere. In the city, anyways, even in the country, it's super not easy to find a vista where we don't have to overlook something. When I go camping, which isn't super often, but I try to get at least once a year. Do you know how hard it is to find a space where you close your eyes and listen, and where you can't hear the sound of industry, the sound of transportation? So we live in this world that is there's beauty that's everywhere, but there's another piece to it, which is that we kind of see ugly everywhere too. There's a lot of infection. You know, when I look at the stars, I love stargazing. By the way, this is not a cup half full kind of an evening. I'm just sort of setting the stage. I love looking at the stars. As a kid, that was a hobby of mine. And you have to go so far into the country, out, like seriously north, if you want to really see what the sky looks like. The sky, it has inspired, the night sky has inspired so much poetry and art and various forms of creativity, many of the Psalms. But for the vast majority of us, we don't see it, because we look up and we see, you know, maybe a couple of hundred stars instead of several hundred thousand stars that are visible to the naked eye, if not more. I don't know what the number is, but it's significant. And my question, I guess, in some ways, is what is the impact on us as we live in a world that has, where we have to fight for beauty all the time? We have to contend for it. What kind of an influence does that have on our relationship with God? What kind of an influence does that have on what we think about God? When was the last time, and some of us will have, you know, it's not unfamiliar language in our prayer language or our worshiping language. But when was the last time that just in contemplating the things of God, the most honest thing that we could say in the moment was, God, you are beautiful. We say, God, you are good, or you are faithful, or you are true, or you are Savior, or you are King. These are things that are very familiar to us. God, you are, you know, sometimes there's a sense of how he's rescued us, and there's so it's like a heroic kind of thing. But the language of beauty, we live in a bit of a reduced, our beauty quotient is a bit reduced from what previous generations of people have lived with. Now, mind you, we don't have the plague, you know, so like there's a trade-off. But you know, it's just an interesting thing, and for me, it's a very interesting question, because as I look at media and popular opinion and the language that surrounds this thing that we call the church, it seems like the word beauty isn't something that would necessarily be ascribed to us as a general rule either. Right? And I was thinking about, I'm a bit of a sucker for sentimental movies on occasion. So, you know, every time I watch Life is Beautiful, It's a Wonderful Life, at Christmas, you know, when we get to the end, George Bailey, and in case you haven't seen it, I'm sorry, I'm about to ruin it for you, but you could have, it's been available for 50 years, so, you know, and everybody comes rushing in, and there's this beautiful moment where community steps forward and saves this family. And I cannot help it. It doesn't even matter, and this is a true story, if I have fallen asleep during the viewing of this movie, if I wake up right when George rushes back in and you know, and everybody starts coming in and they're kind of helping to pay, you know, bringing in money and all this stuff, and they're taking care of this family, I could have woken up like 30 seconds before that scene, and I'm like, oh, that's beautiful. Beauty moves us. Beauty draws us every time. Every time when we see something that is beautiful, it moves us and invites us in a way that very few other things can. Truth is powerful. But truth and beauty, it is an unrelenting force. Sorry, I'm having a... There we go. So we live in this world of tension. And it really is a tension between beauty and ugly. Ugliness. But part of the part of the issue for us, part of the struggle is that, you know, as with so many things, we've allowed, we are in the same fish tank as everybody else. You know what I mean? We live in this world. We share in so many of its values without thinking about it, and so many of its definitions. And so, you know, when I went to try to find a video, I went on to Vimeo, and I typed in beauty. And I couldn't look at any of the videos that came up. That was just not what I was looking for. Scantily clad people. Right? That is the only thing that came up when I typed in the word beauty. I had to try all sorts of other combinations to find something that was actually addressing the topic. And so we live in a world that wants to define beauty for us, right? And so often, that line, is this not working at all? Okay. Can you go to the next slide? I'm just going to jump around. These are kind of in a weird order. Here we go. So if we're going to talk about beauty in a way that transforms us, we need to recognize that beauty and image are not the same thing. And they're not necessarily opposed to each other, but they sure can be. Because image is a projection, right? When we're tending to our image, we're tending to what other people think of when they think about us, right? Or brand or whatever you want to talk about. It's a construct. It's something that is, I dress a certain way and I don't think I'm very successful when I look at pictures, but you know, it's been a rough year for my girlish figure, right? And so I try to dress in a way that minimizes that, right? Just honest. This is an honest moment, right? Right? And you're very grateful for that, trust me. But that is an image. It's a construct, right? And in our world, so much of our constructs, they get in the way of the beautiful, This image thing, it is so pragmatic. It is so practical. It is so effective, right? If I've got a solid image, it sells me. It makes sure that I have friends of a particular kind, maybe friends with a particular income bracket or whatever, or it establishes our business. Or it makes, you know, this church look like the coolest church in town because it's got the image thing going. We're projecting something. And it is so efficient. It is so effective. Right? And it's so easy because it can be completely false and it can still look pretty. You know? The thing about beauty is that it is not at all practical. Beauty is, Terry might suggest, is always completely extravagant. It's over the top. It's very costly in the sense that that image, that video that we saw, that flower had no business being in that alley. It wasn't serving. In fact, it was wrecking the infrastructure. It was growing out of the wall. It had no business being there. Beauty is not a respecter of those things. But beauty, it takes the hard road. It is this. Can we skip back to the previous slide there? Beauty reflects what is lying beneath and behind and within. It is disarming. It is truthful. It is lovely. It is creational. Beauty is honest. It is truth. And when we start to understand what is beautiful in the Lord's eyes, we start to recognize how He reflected beauty out into the world. What did that look like? It becomes this powerful, powerful thing You know, what if this, what if it wasn't just about is it right that was the main question, but what if it was, is it beautiful? This conversation that I'm having right now on the bus with somebody with whom I disagree, is my conversation with them, am I right? Or is my language and my heart towards them beautiful? Our family members who we care about, are we right? Or are we reflecting a beauty of Christ into, like, this is, what if this was the measure? Because there's a lot of ugly that kind of projects the image of truth. But at its core, you can see there's meanness there. There can be some nasty, and I've seen it in myself, right? I've seen it in myself, the nastiness that lies behind things that on the surface look good. Beauty asks the deeper questions, and I'm convinced that if we want to see the gospel seriously penetrate let's forget about culture for a second, as if it's just a sea of faceless beings out there. If we want to see the gospel penetrate into the lives of people who have no context for who this God is that we love and have encountered and discovered, learning how to reflect the beauty that God has demonstrated, that Christ has demonstrated to us, I think is absolutely central. We talk about being missional. We talk about being focused outwards. Until we are captured by the beauty of God, and we see these moments, we accidentally stumble into them. It's not that we're not an ugly people. In fact, I love this congregation. I think we do beautiful, there's beautiful things that happen all the time. But wouldn't it be amazing if it wasn't accidental, but it was super intentional? If we made it a focus, an emphasis. It's powerful stuff. If we can skip past go to the next slide and then the one after that. Yeah, no, it's still dead. Okay, if we can go, sorry, back. okay, forget it. Beauty always is going to come into our lives as a transaction. And I think I'm coming at it a little strong in my language there, but it seems to me that, you know, while we are made in the image of God, and so there is something that is inherently beautiful in every human person. And I've had lots of opportunity to look at people who were reflecting to me something other than that. Lots of brokenness, and I've had prayed, Lord, let me see the beauty that's inherent here. And so there is that, and that's something that's to be championed and wonderful. But in my experience, I have found that in Isaiah 61, there's this phrase that talks of exchanging beauty for ashes, beauty for ugliness, right? This is part of what God promises to us when he invites us into his way of life, is that he takes the ugliness in our life and he transforms it into beauty. And I have personally seen that over and over and over again. I see it on a continual basis. I see how even my brokenness is sometimes translated into areas of strength and wisdom, I'm not grateful for the brokenness that led me there, but I'm grateful for the God who can take those experiences of ugliness and pain and transform them into beautiful things. That is part of what it means to lean into this, is to really come to God with our ugliness and expect a transformation into beauty. Now, what does the beauty of God look like? It's really important, because otherwise all we're talking about is sunshine and roses and butterflies and maybe fairies or something, right? Unicorns, right? There's a word that shows up in this book that I'm reading right now, and it talks about the the cruciform, the cruciformity of Christ, and that this is the main vision of what beauty is, as demonstrated by him. And what that is it what a cruciform is. It is literally this. I mean, it is to take on the form of the cross, right? So there's not beauty on this thing in the worldly sense of it. In fact, in the time of Jesus, it was absolutely the most ugly symbol. It was a symbol of death and suffering, shame, condemnation. And Jesus took this emblem of all that stuff, this emblem of ashes, and transformed it into the most extraordinarily beautiful act and invitation that has ever issued forth from any being, from one being to another, ever. And it looks like this. And so the thing about the cruciform, when this is the shape of beauty in our lives, not necessarily strength, not power, this is almost a powerlessness. This reflects an exchange. That is absolutely transformative. It is the word, you know, there's a word that I would use that is creational. It creates in us. It does not return to us empty. If we can go to the next slide, please. 2 Corinthians 2 says, "But thanks be to God who always leads us as captives in Christ's triumphal procession and uses us to spread the aroma of knowledge of him everywhere. For we are to God the pleasing aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. To the one we are an aroma that brings death, to the other an aroma that brings life. And who is equal to such a task? Unlike so many, we do not peddle the word of God for profit. On the contrary, in Christ we speak before God with sincerity as those sent from God." I love the language of this being an aroma as a people. It's similar in kind to me to this language of beauty. I also want to read from Isaiah 61. I don't have a slide for this. But the things that we praise God for, the acts and the invitations and all this stuff, it is, we're not just saying, "Hey, listen, thanks for getting me out of the life I didn't like," or, "Gosh, you know, thanks for at least when I die out of this miserable life, thanks for at least getting me into heaven." It's not. I mean, there is a practical extension of these things, but there's this beautiful spirit of God that is so much deeper than just the pragmatic ways that we can kind of respond to him, or even the way that we can share the gospel. "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and release to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor the day of the vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who mourn in Zion, to give them a garland of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, a mantle of praise instead of a faint spirit. They will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, to display his glory. That is a beautiful vision. It's something that starts to encompass why we do what we do out of Urban Hope downstairs. It starts to lead us into why it was so beautiful to gather together on Monday and celebrate in music and song, but to support our team going to Brazil in November. And knowing that at the same time, you know, from Brazil, I'm getting messages from Jen and Phil who are encouraging us, who are rooting us on. They feel like they're here. That was a beautiful moment. And when we start to understand the mission of God towards his people is something so much more like this than like just a series of understandings about what happens when you die. Or just, you know, the proper ways for us to behave towards one another. Not that those are wrong things, but they are not the point. And when they become the point, they become ugly. Morality is one of the ugliest things that I have seen when it has lost the thread of what it's supposed to point to and becomes the point. It's an ugly thing. It's just people beating each other up over the head. But when Christ is at the center, and when we start to see that in death we have life, and what it means to enter into eternal life, what it means to suffer well with one another, that's an act of beauty. It's a reminder to us that the way that we taste and smell and look, not as a construct, as an image, but the way that we actually are as a people in relationship to this world is important. That's the word aesthetics, right? We want to be beautiful. So we're gonna transition here into a time of worship. And our invitation tonight is to, and we've picked a number of songs that are gonna kind of open this up for us to just linger and to say, Lord, let me see your beauty. Let me see your beauty, Lord. Let us see your beauty. Let us see your beauty in the world around us. And Lord, let us become beautiful. Make us beautiful. Let us reflect your beauty. I love that the idea of the cross also destroys anything about just being sentimental, right? It really is the antidote. There's nothing sentimental about the cross. It's a stark beauty, that one is. So, Lord, we come before you tonight. And Lord, I ask not just for eyes to see and ears to hear and noses to sniff out, but God, that you would put into our hearts a deep desire to find your beauty around us. God, that you would give us eyes that we would see your beauty when we go and we walk around our neighborhoods. Lord, that we would see your beauty in the eyes of our enemies. Lord, that we would see your beauty in the faces of our, even if we have bosses who act like overlords. Lord, let us see your beauty there. Lord, let us be defenders of your beauty. Let us be defenders of beautiful things. Lord, that reflect that you are good and kind. And as we always do at these gatherings, we have an open table during worship. And Lord, we thank you that when you did this, and we need to remind ourselves, and we choose here to remind ourselves weekly, Lord, that you invited us to a table, and you made it, Lord, such a beautiful gesture and yet so painful, because you embodied your death into it, and you said, "This is my blood and this is my flesh, and I'm pouring this out for you." And you are to come and to take and eat. And Lord, so tonight as we worship, we want to come to your table. And Lord, we say that you are the center of all of the beauty in all of the cosmos, all of the universe.